Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 214 featuring Kim Meltzer. And I'm going to get to Kim and the fascinating podcast that this is. But I want to make a quick announcement about a new product we basically announced this week. And we're very, very excited about it. It is called Chaos Cloud. Yes, Chaos Cloud. And we are basically offering our own cloud rendering service, which we are extremely excited about. We've been working at this for a long time, and it is really, really cool. It is basically the simplest way that you can shoot your stuff to the cloud from V-Ray in nearly any package at this point. It's really, really cool to be able to do that. I highly recommend you guys check it out. You can go to our website, chaosgroup.com, and go to the cloud section, and you will see that we are offering all kinds of stuff there. You can see examples of how long things take, what the prices are, et cetera, et cetera. So you should really go check it out. We've written a couple of blog posts about it, so lots of information. Please go check it out. Let us know what you think. I would love to hear your feedback. And there'll be more announcements about new stuff coming along, so keep an eye out on our website and, of course, all of our social media feeds. Anyway, back to Kim Meltzer, who is absolutely amazing. This is a podcast I've actually wanted to do with her for a while. I met her at a party, and I said, oh my gosh, you have to be on this podcast. She is really, really cool. She calls herself the esports mom, and the reason she does that is sort of explained in the podcast, but she really is one of the people who basically organizes a bunch of esport events and helps people, including the very young players and their parents, on understanding what this event is all about and how their kids can sort of play video games for the weekend and make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars if they're really successful. It's really kind of incredible. There is a lot of information we talk about video games, about being a parent of someone who likes video games. What are the implications of it? The fact that, you know, you may not know this, but there's actually scholarships that are given out to people in esports. So there is a lot of information out there that is very, very interesting. And we talk a lot about that whole culture of esports, which is something that I think we could all learn from. And honestly speaking, it's going to become bigger than most sports out there. So really something fascinating. And I really want to thank Kim for coming onto this podcast and being able to share her story. Go to our page, because we did put her Twitter up there. So if you guys want to follow her on Twitter and ask her questions, she's willing to do that. So thanks so much, Kim, for doing this podcast. It was so much fun. With that being said, please enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passe. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
I guess we should mention how you and I met. It's very strange. You know, my kids were really good friends with this other kid whose mother was leaving town, and was a big goodbye party for her. And we ended up just hanging out, and I had this conversation with you, and I said, this is fascinating. And I'm always looking for interesting things on my podcast. That things, more specifically, I love to introduce people into worlds that they don't know about yet. And I think that the esports world is going to become huge. Well, it already is huge, but I don't think people realize how huge it is. And you have a big part to do with it. So I thought it would be fascinating to bring it up. So you described yourself when we met as jokingly as the esports mom.
That's correct. Weird as that sounds.
Why do you call yourself that, and what is that about?
So you have to kind of come back to about 2010, and I was literally in the hotel industry, working in the sales, group sales, you know, side of things, getting, you know, corporations and the entertainment world to come and do their big events, you know, at hotels that I worked for.
Right.
And so I had left that and started my own company in about 2007.
Okay.
And so in the midst of all of the TARP money that was all of, you know, this government craziness and everything that was going on, I ended up doing my sales 101, and I started just kind of going back to all of the various luxury high-level clientele that I'd had all my years of doing this, and got to a woman who I had literally fell in love with when I was working with her at the Parker Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. And I just hit her up on Facebook, and I just said, hey, how's it going? Can we do lunch? You know, and this is all by Facebook chat back in the day when it was actually easy. And, you know, she was like, hey, let's try in 2 weeks. And I was like, great. So off I went into my own world. And 10 minutes later, this weird thing came up at me, and it was her. And she's like, how would you like to help me on a project? And I was like, I would love that. And before I knew it, I was working on the press junket for Call of Duty Black Ops 1 with her agency and Activision.
Yeah.
And I ended up handling the travel and hospitality side of the full production for the press junket. Mm-hmm. We ended up in Ojai, where I had just left, funny enough, through the Ojai Valley Inn and Spa, and got to literally come back as a consultant, which was really funny, as a client, and bring this really cool piece of business. And so in the process of doing that, I have press from all over the world who are coming in to check out this brand new billion-dollar game. And at that time, I had no video game experience as far as, like, I played Atari back in the day when I was a kid, but I just was more athletic than I was nerd. But I loved playing Atari. I loved all the games. I never really thought anything of it. And so when I got back into this kind of metamorphosis of opportunity, I ended up working with these press, and these guys all play video games. This is their thing, but they write about it. It's all under the radar. You don't know they're there. It's all incognito and confidential. And so they have player areas that are single player, and then they had multiplayer. And so we would watch them kind of unearth their experience, and then they were writing about it, but they couldn't let it out yet until the game was out. So I got to interact with them.
Embargoed in a way.
Yes, exactly.
So it's literally the press sitting in a big hotel area, playing the game confidentially.
Correct.
And then writing about it. So they're, but are they different press playing with each other, I guess?
They were playing by themselves.
And with each other.
And then with each other.
Right.
So the funny part was, I hadn't picked up a controller, let alone had I had time to even play the game. I just was there more on the outside of it, working through being hospitality and kind of everybody's, you know, best friend. And so they had sat me down and said, okay, your turn to play, which of course was the funniest thing, because if I'd had video, I probably would have gotten laughed right out of everything that they were doing. But I couldn't even hold the controller right. And so as I was doing this and they were laughing at me, they said, so what's your gamer tag? And I was like, gamer, work with me here. I have no clue. I'm embarrassed to even say this. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I said, I don't have one. And they're like, we're going to make you the COD mom. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
And I didn't really knew what that meant, but as I started to do more and more events with Call of Duty, I was known as the COD mom, and it just kind of stuck.
Okay.
And so the press knew me as the COD mom, and then when we started to do the first esports for Call of Duty, I literally handled all the pro players, all the VIPs, the developers, all of those people, and the next thing I knew, that name stuck, and that became my gamer tag, even though I wasn't playing it.
Right.
And so that was kind of kind of career move that I didn't know I was making.
Right.
And so the pro players knew me as a COD mom. The press knew me as a COD mom. That became my Twitter handle. That became everything that I was doing handle. And that was like the start of my career, you know, 9 years ago. And then as things progressed and I started working on other events and different games and working with other pro players and building out the esports side of it, working out the entertainment press side of it or the VIP side of it.
Right.
I became the either esports event mom, the Twitch mom, I was the mom of whatever I was branded as at that moment. And that became my title. So the gamer tag has always been COD mom, but now I'm the esports event mom.
Wow.
So I'm kind of the mom of esports, and that's how this has progressed into something really bizarre. But, you know, especially turning 50 and all these kids are like, you know, I told them if they call me the esports grandmother, I'm going to beat them. But at this point, you know, at least they're respecting me as kind of like the pseudo mom.
So why are you the mom though? What made you the mom?
Well, the funniest part is I remember the first time I started doing esports, and this now makes me laugh, but back then I didn't really grasp the reality of it. So most of the kids who were playing video games were always hidden behind the, you know, behind the rooms or wherever. And parents didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
You know, hey, Johnny's playing a video game. Okay, great.
Right.
Well, if Johnny was at a point where he was playing and then he was winning, Mm-hmm. And he started killing it or being with a group of kids who were winning at a certain level.
Right.
They would qualify for these tournaments. And the next thing you know, Johnny's coming down to his parents and like, I'm getting an all expense paid trip over to LA. And they're like, wait, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, here's a kid.
So Johnny's in his room playing Xbox and then suddenly Johnny's going to LA.
And Johnny's like literally in a professional player setup because he's now beating all of these kids to be that top 1% who's going to go for money
and
at a tournament.
And how old is Johnny?
He could be 16
right.
at this point, you know, right. and he's underage for that matter. So right. the parents are like, you can't throw your trash away, but you're doing what?
Right.
You know, so all of a sudden when I started working on the player, you know, transports and, you know, taking care of them on site.
Right.
I found out that I became kind of like their mom because their parents, first of all, didn't even know what they were doing. Second of all, they didn't know, you know, what was happening. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't know who was taking care of their children. So
right.
I remember the calls we would get and they're like, so you're sending Johnny to LA. Can you give me a little bit more information? And I was like, no, this is not sex trafficking. This right. is not human trafficking.
Right.
This is a real event. Mm-hmm. They're getting paid to come out and play this tournament and they might actually win money.
Right.
This is a very high level experience and this is what we call esports. And I had to explain it.
Yeah.
And so I became the only parent to these kids because most of their parents either didn't understand, didn't like it, or had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what kind of put me into a really interesting position because I was always there for all of those pro players and I would check them after they left. I'd make sure they were good. I'd see them at a different tournament. And even to this day, I've had now a good eight years of, uh-huh. of over, I think I've raised over 1,000 pro players over, I don't know, 8+ gaming titles
wow.
and press junkets and you name it. So it was just that became my MO and
right.
I loved every minute of it. So, you know, that's how I've been known this whole time in this industry. So now it's even more imperative because I have case studies now of the kids who started eight, nine years ago and now are like husbands and parents themselves and,
yep.
you know, they're men and they're not young boys. And I've had to, you know, kind of help parents not only understand what their roles are with their kids, but how to get on social media. And so I've just been that advocate and that mom who's kind of mothered everybody
right.
into the scene so that they understood what the requirements were. And I also knew more on a different scale too, because I had to be very careful confidentially of what I knew, but I also knew how to direct these parents and these kids on what is PR? What is marketing? What is a brand? What does a streaming mean? Why are you doing this? What's right. an interview look like? What do you say? What do you not say?
Right.
And so that's what this entire experience became. And it was just amazing. I mean, it was absolutely amazing.
I mean, it's gotta be intense because suddenly if you're an intense game kid, right, who's like 16, there's, you know, we were talking about this earlier. It's like that is not necessarily the way that all kids are, right? They are
no.
very intense. They have certain skill sets. They're very focused, obviously. They've got all of that. So dealing with those types of kids and dealing with a lot of them has got to be very challenging in a sense too, right?
It was really eye-opening to me, the variation of kids. So
right.
as we talked before, like you have every type of child from the athlete who totally became the gamer
mm-hmm.
or was a gamer but became athlete and then kind of wanted to come back to it to the autistic child who right. has Asperger's who right. does amazing in this, you know, scenario but is very socially worried
mm-hmm.
about everything that's going on. And then you've just got the general population of kids who literally have this almost gene in them to mm-hmm. be able to compete at a level that is literally in the 1% of their category.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming more and more prevalent that as I meet pro players even today, I could almost nail them mm-hmm. on who's going to be a pro player and who's not going to make it just
right.
based on how they react and how they think.
Right.
It's amazing how this has become a phenomenon. I think we've always been there, but the nerd side, quote unquote, of kids were always hidden. And now they're front and center and they're being watched by millions of other kids
right.
who are now at levels where they're not considered professional athletes, but they're now in a position where their stress levels are at the same as Kobe Bryant or anybody else because
sure.
this is a different mentality and stress level that they're trying to perform at. So,
well, I mean, the world of esports in general was kind of, when would you say it started? And if you look into history area.
Now, I don't have all the notes on it, but I can tell you that Europe had it much longer than we did. There's
okay.
been, I think gaming has been going on for such a long time that it didn't really go into tournament form. Probably late 90s, maybe early 2000.
Right.
I didn't really hit it till about 2010, but I know that we meaning the team from the agency that mm-hmm. I got to work with, mm-hmm. building it out was absolutely phenomenal
right.
at being able to create this atmosphere and bringing esports into the United States. And that was literally 2011 is when it all started
okay.
and moving forward.
And now it's pretty big.
It's what I knew 8-9 years ago, but didn't know what that was going to look like.
Right.
I knew this was going to be out of control. I just didn't know to what level.
The amount of money that's being spent in this area now is gigantic. And what I think is fascinating is I hear this all the time, is I hear people say, it's like, I don't understand why someone would want to watch someone else play a video game. I said, do you watch someone else play basketball all the time? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right. Why don't you play basketball? You're watching someone else play basketball. And I said, there's a certain level, when you see someone play a level of a video game at a level that's much better than you can do, sometimes it's more satisfying to watch, you know?
Definitely. And
right.
and I've learned that the casual player who's doing it for fun.
Right.
And since Fortnite kind of came on, you can see this like insanity that like tripled the mm-hmm. amount of kids playing. But there was some kind of reward in it. So if you were just playing it to learn it, there's a lot in a game, especially as a developer is opening it up to the entire world to play. Mm-hmm. You know, only those who play it or understand it or have had developer support who know what this is and can open those levels of strategy, mm-hmm. watching it is unreal because you get to learn something that you just don't know. So you could do this for hours because the funny part is it's a continuation of the same game at a different level or with somebody different that you didn't play with last time. So it's
right.
always ever changing.
Yep.
You know, even in Call of Duty, if you look at the pros, they're very strategical, but it's the same concept. It's just they don't know what they're going to play at what time, but they have to know their strategy.
Right.
And they have to know the game better than they think they do. And so we're one-upping the next guy, and it's just it's fascinating and it's scary because you can watch it and think, oh my God, this is just a video game, but it's not that at all. It's the strategy, it's the thought processes that have to come together
sure.
in order to play these games, and it's at a different level. I mean, it just makes it 10 times more fun because they're reacting quickly.
Right.
They have to think on their feet, and that's not normal in a video game to have to think that fast in order to win that much money,
right?
Which is now insane.
Well, what kind of money are we talking about inside of these games? What does a pro esports player make at these in a year at these days, these times?
One of the most amazing stories I will never forget is on the second esports tournament that we did, mm-hmm. Attach, who his name is Dylan Price. He's out of Moore Park, so he was actually close to here. He's
yeah.
Local. He was 17. He mm-hmm. was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
He was put together on a team called Denial, and
okay.
they had made it to the 32 spots to be able to compete for a number like 1 through 10
okay.
for prize money. And they were an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a 17-year-old kid on a team who's playing and goes up against Optic, which was the number one team at that time, mm-hmm. the Green Wall. And they beat them, which
okay.
was not something that was orchestrated or ever thought to happen. And I remember everybody panicking that it was over as far as the actual numbers of viewers
okay.
because Optic was so big. But Denial came in, wiped them out, and then ended up becoming the world champions.
Wow.
Here's a 17-year-old kid who, before he even graduate, was getting a check for $100,000.
Right.
So he just made six figures in one weekend that most people don't even make in a year.
Right.
And he's underage, so however the taxes work for a 16-year-old,
right.
Having to put that money away and having good parents, thankfully.
Yeah.
You know, he was a good kid, and he still, to this day, is becoming a really amazing young man. But that was his start at 17 years old to learning what money was.
Right.
And now you've got purses that are way bigger than that.
Right.
And, you know, you've got Dota, which is a huge game,
mm-hmm.
and they play at high stakes, and there's a lot of money at hand. I know that they had kids at 16 who were winning $1 million at the end of it.
Wow.
So the money the prize money is outrageous. What's really interesting in this day and age for me to know after 9 years was I'm teaching pro players that until they understand who they are and their brand,
mm-hmm.
they don't even know what money they can make because the event is kind of like icing on the cake, but they make the event their end all be all to everything. And they've
okay.
forgotten to realize that that's not where the money really is. That should be the fun place to go.
Sure.
And the money should be a bonus if they make it.
Okay.
But they should be making money on the, like, every day. that should be their job every day. And that right. event becomes that community experience. So these kids are making really big money, and that's no difference.
But are they getting sponsored? Like, you know, correct. Obviously, right? So yep. like someone like Ninja is going to get sponsored
absolutely.
By Epic, right?
Absolutely. And a lot of different brands are interested because he's got a million followers or more than that.
Yes.
You know, and so it's not just a numbers game, but it's becoming a individual brand game. And so we knew this years ago, but the kids were never taught that. So only did Optic under Hector Rodriguez did they get what their brand was, and that's right. why they did so well, and their sponsors. So they became the first real franchise that made sense.
Right.
And they've done an amazing job ever since. And you've got Mike Rufiol with Envy, and there's just some great organizations now, TSM, mm-hmm. and they're making good money because right. they realize who they are and they've taken control of their franchise. So it's big money. Mark Cuban wouldn't be in this if there wasn't money. You yep. know, it's more of a marketing scheme for him, but at the same time, he's bridging the gap to these millennials and post-millennials that are or pre-millennials that are coming up and not even knowing what's going on in the real world in which sure. we've lived. You know, to this day.
Sure. It's interesting. I mean, if you think about it, really what it all comes down to is like, okay, they're spending all this money on esports, et cetera, but that money is really marketing, not really, but it's marketing money to sell more video games, right?
Absolutely.
So, and video games are very, very popular. It really works for a lot of people. What I think is fascinating is not just the esports stuff, but it's also the characters behind this, because now we're also have, with things like Twitch, right? Mm-hmm. With things like, well, just even YouTube. But Twitch is huge now. These kids, and, you know, sometimes older people as well, they become characters that people follow, right? So my son loves to play Fortnite. And he also likes to watch other people play Fortnite. Correct. Or do whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then that he'll watch someone play Fortnite and I've watched it with him because, you know, part of me is like, I can't believe you're watching a YouTube of someone playing a video game. But it's like, I want to understand that position. So I watch it with him and I was like, I get it. This person is a character, right? It's right. not always just about being good or being bad.
No.
It's about the banter that happened and fun stuff that happens. And there's a lot of things that go on. Also, because this person is probably sponsored by one of those mm-hmm. games, they will get him to try out this new game. And then right. it's like, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to play this other new game. And then he'll tell me, I saw this person play this game and I want to buy that game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there it goes. That's how it all works.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's ingenious how they've created the YouTube, even just non-video gaming YouTubers, how much money they were making driving in their Ferraris, you know, living in these big homes
sure.
because their content. They're right. they're creating these interactions that kids just want to watch. And right. sadly, technology has made it so that it's not go outside and play, Johnny. It's, hey, have you seen so-and-so who just did this crazy act mm-hmm. on YouTube?
Right.
You know, it was back to the days where we used to watch movies to get that kind of entertainment. Now right. we just pop our phone on and you can see whatever you want right. from any direction you want to go.
Yeah. But I've had mixed feelings about generally video games. And I know you're totally going to be on my side on this one, which is good. But when I watch my son play Fortnite, and I do have to curb it a little bit,
sure.
but when I watch him play, I see how much he does with his friends, how much interaction they're doing. They're dealing with social problems, like
yep.
how to deal with each other, how to communicate. And they're young, you know, they're from, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. But it's not dissimilar from them being at the playground sometimes.
Correct. No, it's a different
right?
concept of that for sure.
But they also like work together. Like, all right, let's do something. Oh, we got a strategy. Oh, you're going to do this. Go over here. They built an entire town together in Fortnite. Mm-hmm. They did all this stuff. And so I'm sitting here and I'm going, you know, I'd rather him do that than watch TV all the time.
100%.
You know?
Right.
So I think there's something, if it's well put together and you can actually see some really creative stuff happening in video games that happen with these kids.
Well, and that's the thing about video games that's so interesting too. And it's a point that I think most parents are starting to realize and didn't know is not everything is gory. Not everything is Call of Duty right. in their minds. You know, you have Fortnite, you have many different games that are out there, PUBG, mm-hmm. they forget to realize there's Madden, there's Rocket League.
Yep.
There's a lot of these really cool games that are non-violent that have the same focus on strategy and in interconnectivity. And what's funny is video games today are what pen pals were years and years ago, where you were writing to somebody or hanging out with somebody and you were getting to know these people. These kids are literally sitting in an adult situation where they're interacting and doing team building and they're doing physics and all kinds of crazy interactions that you couldn't get them to sit in a classroom to learn. But yet you get them into Minecraft and they're doing architecture and all kinds of science and math. And it's crazy what they're doing on these video games, and they're not even being taught. They've learned it on their own. There's no owner, you know, manual on this. They've just gotten in. I can't do it, but yet my son went in and he was building huge cities, and I was thinking, this is ridiculous. He wouldn't learn this in school, but yet he's doing it on a video game.
Right.
And that's what started this craze. These kids' creativity levels are so high, they get to explain and experience that inside these games. And that's any game. It's all strategy. So what we used to do with board games, they're doing now with video games.
Right.
You know, that's the crazy part, but it's internal. It's not outside. So vitamin D levels need to be challenged a bit.
Sure.
But they're getting interaction with kids. And that's what parents don't understand is like, you want to give them that timeline of how much time, but at the same experience, they are getting all the stimulations that they're looking for. It's just, we're not kicking them outside to do it.
Sure.
So there has to be somewhat of a balance.
Yeah. I mean, I even get on, I haven't done it in a while, but I even get on and play Fortnite with him a little bit. Right. Mm-hmm. So him and his friends, and then what's interesting is that the banter and the taunting goes way down when I'm on the
Isn't it amazing how that works?
Yeah, it's like, oh, your dad's playing. So suddenly they work together way better, you know, just by being present with them, you know?
Yes, for sure.
So, which is fun. I mean, I think it's and I'm way less that's the other thing is how much the eye-hand coordination is going on.
A lot.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's not, okay, yeah, they're not playing basketball. They may not be getting strong. And yes, they need to get strong too, but literally the reflexes are really high.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So I think it's very interesting to have that in the video game world and what's going on there. But you also mentioned something else, and we can get back to go back. I like to go a little over the place, but you mentioned specifically boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this boy situation with video games that happens. What it was a very interesting. Do you ever watch Adam Ruins Everything?
I don't know.
Have you heard of the show before? Okay, so he did Adam Ruins Video Games.
Oh, that's funny.
And it was mainly specific. One of the big things that were going on in video games is that video games were actually very popular with all boys and girls for a long time in the old Atari days, as you mentioned. But then there was a moment at the video, at the toys that where video games are being sold at the toy store. And they didn't know where to put the video games in the boy section or the girl section.
Yep.
So they said, we'll just put it in the boy section. And that's what spawned all the more aggressive games.
Right, right. And truthfully, what most people don't know, it's funny being a woman at this stage of my career, realizing that women power at this point has definitely increased by no means has it ever not been there, but you certainly are aware of it now.
Yeah.
But we have a Discord channel that is women of esports, and it
is
a female Discord channel of probably over 200 women from every aspect of video gaming who get together on this Discord channel. And I would say 90% of not more are all gamers and they're all women.
Interesting.
So there are a huge number. The problem I think that has been faced for so long is that we have been male-centric for so long because women haven't really stepped up or didn't want to, or they were getting harassed, which wasn't working well.
Right.
And they needed to deal with that. And I think now we're in a place where it's neutral ground. I just think that women are slowly trying to find that place to be inside the video game tournament. And I think it's only a matter of when, not if, because I feel like watching these women who are starting to see the reality they can play just as well or they can at least compete are going to start, you know, kind of stepping up. And I know a lot of them already have, but you'll see it's going to be very neutral. There's definitely a more of a male-centered video gaming type, you know, kind of atmosphere, but by no means don't think that there aren't women out there that are playing at a high level or fighting and competing all the time. And there's just got to be someone that's going to step in and say no more of this. And I think that's part of what I'm doing as the esports event mom is I'm starting to realize that I need to advocate to have that neutrality and no bullying. And so I'm working really hard moving into this 2019, moving forward, to figure out how to be more of an advocate towards that. So my role is going to change as I move forward too. It's not going to just be events. It's going to be a lot more of an executive level role where I'm going to step out and be a leader in the space.
That's amazing.
And that's going to be really interesting to see how it does, because you know, you work your reputation your whole life, but I don't think I've ever taken the step up, and it's time to do that. There's some great people in this industry, and I don't think there's been no one to uncover it the way it needs to be uncovered. It's just this crazy wild child that nobody knows what to do with. But I think if you take it for what it really is and pull it apart and have somebody really explain it to these poor parents who just have no idea. First of all, there's college scholarships now for freshmen, I mean, for high schoolers who can play at league level. There's college students who are playing under these scholarships who are getting their degrees, and they're just doing something either whether it's computer oriented or video game oriented, or they go off into the Marines or whatever they decide to do. There's a different discipline now than there used to be. So technology is not necessarily a negative. It's becoming a positive. It's just there has to be balance like everything else. We used to be like outside all the time until dark, and then we had to come inside. Now we're trying to get everybody outside a little bit more, where we were being told to come inside a little bit more. So it's kind of changed in that way, but it hasn't changed in the perspective that these kids are learning so much and growing so much, but it's finding that balance, even down to where they're in college level and now they're getting jobs at Twitch or they're getting jobs at Blizzard or they're getting jobs, you know, around the world doing what they love doing, you know, PR, marketing, whatever it is. Video gaming is so big that there are entities within all of that, you know, even down to movies that are being made. And I mean, everything is being centered around video gaming. It's just, you just don't know what to do with it because it seems so bizarre. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I guess it's like anything else, right? Any other professional athletes dealing with the same thing, like Michael Jordan had to learn how to brand himself and how to do all that other stuff. So someone like Ninja is doing the same thing. I mean, he's become a recognizable character. People see him and do that. But I do still think there is that, I'm too old for this. I don't understand the video game mentality that's happening. I saw an interview that Ninja did with Helen that was hilarious, right? But Helen was like, I don't understand this video game thing. I barely can move or whatever. I mean, it's not dissimilar from what you were describing as your first experience with a controller in your hand, right? And so that's the thing, is like, you think it's like just some peripheral thing on the side, but there is a huge community that's happening. But because it's happening on channels that they may not, you know, some people are, you know, I'm on Facebook, but they don't know about Discord. They don't know about Twitch. They don't know about all of this other networking that's happening that's very different.
Very different.
And I think that's also really cool about the gaming industry, is because they are using channels like Discord and Twitch that are not controlled by Facebook or Google. And so that's a channel that's really sort of way more independent in a sense, right?
Absolutely. And that's the thing that's different, is we were talking about Michael Jordan. Well, if you're contracted inside of a big franchise, you know, they're going to make sure that you look and feel and act and associate in a certain way. And that's where professional athletes are in a different band of experience. And no matter how much money they make, they're under the gun for whatever it is that that franchise wants them to be. And so, you know, you see them very specific. And in esports and in video gaming, there's not a lot of that. And they're trying to be more proactive in that way. But a Ninja isn't being told by a PR company what he needs to do. Some of that is self-learned. And if he's smart, he's going to tap into a good PR company, or CAA might pick him up. Or there's now more opportunity for the right professional entities to come in where they didn't have that before. So a lot of these kids are just, they're literally just, it's a Wild West experience. And so trying to help more of these kids to understand their boundaries has been really interesting. And so it's a, an ever evolving thing that's starting to happen. And again, in my positioning, I've been able to make a difference for the ones that I do get to come in contact with, but I think they're starting to know that these new PR companies or these video game PR execs or whoever are starting to realize, I need to, you know, get out there more and attack the situation. And so you're going to see some balance. I mean, we still haven't gotten it to a place where it's structured, but creativity is king and structure is not. And that's where things have to kind of start to balance out a bit. And you'll start to see that as we move forward, because more franchising is happening. Blizzard and Activision have OWL is Overwatch.
Okay.
And now they're going to do the league for Call of Duty. There's going to be much more structure, even mm-hmm. though it's going to be very bizarre for a lot of them that have not had that.
Okay.
But these franchises are going to get a bit more serious about how the look, it's going to be polished is probably the right word.
Okay.
And you're going to see a little bit more of that. But to the casual gamer, it's whatever you want to do. You
right.
know, there's nobody telling them you can or you can't. It's all based on Twitch's policies. It's all based on if Facebook has policies,
sure.
but they're not as strong as if you were a Michael Jordan or a Kobe Bryant or a LeBron James.
Right.
You know, much
yeah.
more strict.
So that's an interesting thing. And that's something that obviously they have to respect code of conduct
mm-hmm.
and all those types of things, just like any other professional sport. Right.
So, right.
But do you think that, you know, there was another interesting discussion that was happening. I forgot. It was some news article, or it might have been a podcast I was listening to about how specifically now certain states are starting to allow online gambling for professional sports.
Right.
And they're saying how it's going to affect certain parts of the economy, whatever they're going to be doing, or how that does it reflects back on taxes or that kind of stuff. But then they said this is also going to change because that may start to happen in esports as well.
There's been some betting in esports.
Right.
It's not looked good. I mean,
right.
there's definitely groups doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think
but you know it's legit if people
yeah,
are willing to bet on it.
100% for sure. But the crazy thing is in Europe, they call it e-gaming. Here, they call it e-sports.
Right.
E-gaming is more for betting purposes. Like, that's more of the mentality.
Oh, interesting.
E-sports, electronic sports being more of the tournament play.
Mm-hmm.
I know that most people look down on the betting side of it. It is part of the ecosystem.
Right.
It's a very quiet
right.
In the sense that you're not seeing that in everybody's faces.
Right.
I know that more people are interested to make that happen. Not sure if they're going to have anybody who's going to basically shut it down or allow it to go. I don't know where that is at the moment, but
right.
I know you see cryptocurrency and everybody's trying to like
sure.
find their way into this craziness. It'll be interesting to see what stays and what goes and who's going to put their foot down at
right.
the end of the day. But it's there. It's
right.
just to what degree. We're trying to make sure that the pro players are not being swayed to lose a game.
Well, obviously.
And that's happened, I believe. But again, it's all based on experience and what happens. And then you kind of react and we have to go from there. We're not proactive enough to get ahead of it. We're just kind of trying to hang on for dear life at this point.
Yeah, because that's exactly kind of what I was getting at. If it's getting to the point where people are willing to, you know, bet on an esport game, then that means that there's huge growth, right, that's happening. And you mentioned earlier, it's like it's happening so fast that I'm just basically trying to catch up to it. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know where the future is. You're not sure how it's going to get there or how soon it's going to get there.
Right. Well, and everybody has a different agenda. So just
right.
because you're a publisher
mm-hmm.
or a developer, you have a goal, but you don't. But the one thing in this industry, which is pretty much prevalent in any industry, we call them silos. Nobody speaks. So
okay.
you'd have six people working on the same project. Nobody talks to each other.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, everybody's doing something unique or different, and they're all trying to work together, but at the end of the day, it doesn't happen that way. So now you've got six objectives that should have been one.
Right.
And now you're fighting even more problems that you had before. And so until somebody can break the silos,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see a lot of this Wild West experience. And we're starting to realize that the corporate structure, who is starting to own arms of different things inside this industry, are starting to put their foot down. So
right.
it'll be interesting to see what actually happens and what doesn't in this.
Do you see that as a good thing?
It'll be good in certain ways. The biggest problem and the most humorous part of this, having been somebody on the inside for so long,
uh-huh.
is creativity is always key. You can't build a game unless you're creative, right? Strategy,
right.
all of that is in your mind. It's all creativity.
Right.
But what creativity doesn't like, its nemesis is structure.
Right.
And the same goes the opposite. Last thing you want is somebody who's structured to think that you can be creative, because then
right.
that causes issues. So,
right.
so I think the key for moving forward in esports and video gaming in general is just finding balance between structure and creativity. So you're letting creativity do its thing, but you got to tame the animal to say, but there still has to be some structure in place.
Right.
So that's the key for the future of this industry, is that when we can get enough structure to accept its place in the sense of creativity and not allow it to be a enemy but an asset, then will you see the balance of all of these other areas come together. And
right.
that's been something that's been on my pathway for a long time, is trying to find and helping people get that balance, because it's just not been there. And I'm the one who's trying to like pull a rabbit out of the hat half the time, trying to fix problems because nobody's realizing there's a wall coming. And I'm like, it's okay. It just came. Now I got to fix it.
Right.
You know, so it's just learning that you've got a lot of high level, very, very, very intelligent people on so many different aspects of this. You know,
so how many events do you sort of organize every year?
It varies every year. Yeah. You know, there's always an event going on somewhere around the world, and there's always somebody playing video games 24/7, 365 days a year. So, so for me, I'm one person.
Okay.
I just can't be everywhere, but from the experiences that I've had in the last 9 years and all of the events and the things that I've had a chance to do, it's just building out the right formulas. It's trying to help people think beyond themselves. It's being older and old school, trying to get some of that to get kicked into play. I'm realizing that the sea levels now in this world are my age, which is really, really weird. And I'm not the kid anymore. So I'm trying to be more of that baton holder who's trying to say, hey guys, I know this is really cool, but you've got to think about these other things because you know, you're not experienced to understand that, or you keep hitting the same wall and you're expecting different circumstances. It's not going to happen. Just trust me on that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think there's also, you know, something about the games have themselves changed, right? Like, so nowadays there's, you know, esports tournaments with mobile games, which wasn't, you know, when you were starting, mobile games were barely had games on them.
Correct.
Like, so now suddenly like people are doing esports and mobile games, and there's a lot, there's mobile games that are rivaling the amount of money they're bringing in compared to other stuff. Micropayments are a big deal now. Like, games are not actually making money by actually selling you a $60 copy of the game. Fortnite is making all of its money by selling dance moves.
Yep. Skins, you name it. Now.
And it's a weird thing. It's a very strange idea, but that's the only way to do it. It's just how to get people's eyeballs on stuff, right?
It's keeping it ever current.
Yeah.
You know, which is crazy.
Yeah. I think it's really fascinating. What is your take on the Fortnite phenomenon? I'm just going to call it Fortnite in quotation marks because I think it involves more than just Fortnite, but it's the one that people will recognize.
They call it Battle Royale.
Yeah.
And it's a phenomenon. I mean, literally, you know, watching Call of Duty evolve for the last, 3 or 4 sessions of this, because it was every year they were building a new Call of Duty. Now it's every 3 years.
Okay.
So it's interesting because you could, when you're set up for 3 years from now, right? We have no clue what's going to happen three years from now. Who would have ever saw Fortnite coming, or Apex now is the new thing that's come out, Apex Legends. And they just blew out Fortnite for number of players. And it's a phenomenon. It happens in a minute. You have Minecraft, who 1 minute, really, everybody played it. And the next minute, they don't remember it. And then all of a sudden it comes back. And it's this greatest thing that ever happened. So it's a matter of figuring out, in a sense, it's almost like anything, fashion, technology, what's the next best thing? So you've got these poor developers who are constantly ever evolving and then have to stay up with the current situation. So Fortnite and the whole Battle Royale system was really, really a solution to a problem that happened within the casual player. So from a pro player specific situation, you can play they call it 4v4, people versus another four people, 5v5, 2v2, whatever. Right. And it was very specific to the game. So when you played it as a casual player, there was two of you and another two of you or whatever, and it was just consistent. Someone realized that there was too many casual players who wanted to play together, and they needed a way to play together as a community. And community became key. And so someone brilliant just woke up one morning and went, this is how we have to do it. We need to let 15 or 20 people come into a setting where they can play together at every game, and it changes. So 20 people that are playing now aren't going to be the same 20 people you play with next.
Right.
And it's the same game, different group of people, maybe the same strategy, maybe different, and it keeps it fresh. So that's why these kids can't get away from it, because it's like a bad addiction. You know, every time they turn around, they're playing something they love, but it's a bit different. So they can't wait to play it again because they're going to learn something new.
What's going to change?
Yeah. And that's what, you know, grew it into this ever-evolving next step. So, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 came out and there was no Battle Royale, you know, response to that, you know, up front. They were ready to launch, and all of a sudden Fortnite took off, and they're like, oh, crud, you know. And knowing Treyarch and being so honored to get to know a lot of the amazing people that are in that studio, they're brilliant. They just made a decision and helped make sure there was at least something in there that would keep the casual and the pro player inside of that so that they weren't running to the next game. And this is what's so crazy in this world is that if IBM wants to create a new thing and then Dell decides they want to jump in and Razer wants to jump in or whoever, you know, they can kind of make their own trademark or signature of what they love and they keep going. Apple can work the same computer, or the same technology, and they're going to stick to their guns. But they're paying attention to everybody else. But thankfully, they're a leader in this so they don't feel that they're being challenged. Well, video games doesn't work like that. Because every day is a new challenge. So you wake up and you don't know if somebody just created the new thing and now you got to catch up to it. You know, so.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, because I think it was almost like, you know, the Battle Royale thing was almost by accident for Fortnite, because Fortnite was not, they were designing a game called Save the World. And that was a big game and they were really spent a lot of time with it, et cetera. And they sort of did the Battle Royale sort of as an afterthought free version of it. And that became way bigger than the game that they were developing for all those years.
And that's how it works. Because these developers are, like I said, if you could sit with half these developers, they're brilliant is an understatement. You know, and their mindsets to be able to take a virtual world and make it so real and so alive and so ever-evolving. I mean, that's, and you, these are the kids who supposedly are ADHD that nobody thinks has any brains, you know. And it might makes me laugh that the most brilliant kids are the ones that just don't fit into the system. You know, pull them out of the system, put them into their place, and God help you, they're going to, like, take on the world. And that's what this video gaming sensation did. Just gave you something so cool that they wanted to do. And then next thing you know, it became a video game, and you've got 10 million people playing it, and you didn't know you were supposed to keep up. You know?
Yeah, it's a fascinating feel, and I think we, you and I talked about it because we're both parents dealing with kids just at that moment. We're like, where is it going to go? And you notice that there's a lack of focus, which is completely normal and should be with kids at that age because they need to explore all kinds of options. But when they find something they really like, they get really focused on it, and it could be video games or whatever. There is a person I know, and he gave a lecture on this. He's a he's one of the lead character designers at Naughty Dog, and he was a big video game guy to the point where it almost destroyed him. Apparently, he wasn't in school. He was obsessed with video games. He was playing it so much, which was a problem for him to the point where he had to drop out of school constantly because of an issue that he had playing video games. But like anything, you obviously need moderation. What was interesting is that he was able to take the skill set that he had in video games and reapply all of that energy into CG sculpting, which ended up becoming his outlet, So he was able to transfer all of that skill set and say, I have an eye and I can sculpt and I can do stuff and I love doing this. So all of that turned into that, which led him back into video games, but now as a creator. And so he worked on all the major characters for Uncharted and all of those other games. And I think it's interesting, like, to see that transfer of, like, how do you take that skill set that you have if you're a professional esports player and you decide, okay, now I'm that was fun, but I want to do something else. What is what are the skill sets that the that they learn from playing video games that they can transfer to things beyond video games? Or maybe it, they just need to stick with video games.
I think like anything, it's think about us playing board games back in the day. You know, when we played Risk and Life and whatever else, and it was about strategy. It was purely about taking something and winning. Or thinking through how can you win, So in that discipline, it's been phenomenal, you know, to look at that in a video game setting because you're making a kid work. From the start to the finish. I think the problem is, like you said, everything is moderation. It becomes an addiction. They don't know that there's other things going on. And I think that's where parents get so frustrated. And I think even having, I have twin 16-year-old boys. One's very extroverted. One is extremely introverted and somewhat of a gamer. More casual than serious. And it's putting your foot down and saying, okay, it's like anything we did as kids, I was outside more than I was inside, We had that process of you have to stay home once in a while and do your chores and be responsible, and then you can go play. Same with being in a gaming situation is we still as parents need to put together that being a piece of their life but not their whole life. And if they are so addicted, then it does need to be addressed. I mean, we do have issues where There are kids who just can't function. Now, mind you, again, we go to an autistic child. This is their sanity. And some parents have found that this is a great place for them to be because it's safe. Right. And they like it and they're social and they're getting everything they need. But again, you have to pull back knowing your own child and knowing what things are missing and having to address that.
Sure.
I do know that one of the big focuses for kids playing video games is that it's too many hours a day where they're starting to physically, find carpal tunnel or issues. And these are things I'm addressing, psychological issues, depression, suicidal. They can't lose, things that they're not used to being put in position to always have to fight for number one and not always being number one. So there's a lot of the good. And then there's also the other side of it where you have to see it's a black hole and you have to be very careful.
Yeah.
So it's nothing is perfect.
Sure.
Like I said, you can go outside and be in the sun 24 hours a day and you're going to get burned and get cancer. There's a point where you have to find some balance. And I think that's what's not been addressed is it's video games are not the devil. It's just there has to be balance because these kids are finding their greatest strengths. And in that too, I've noticed even with the pro players or even these kids that are going to college, they're getting their degrees. Now it could be engineering, it could be psychology, it could be anything they want. Mm-hmm. They're still going to find themselves, but the games are giving them creative ways to find out what they love and what they hate.
Sure.
So it's been really cool. And like you said, with everything being so technologically driven, I'm noting that kids are going into filming or they're going into technology or they're finding out how to do IT or they're learning security or they're great hackers. And, you'd be amazed at the amount of knowledge these kids are gaining that we don't even know how to turn the computer on and they've already built 16 more. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is insane.
Right.
Right. So these kids just need mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that now more. I'm seeing esports type leagues in high schools are starting to happen now. I note that there are colleges through Twitch Student that are building colleges around the world that are teaching them not just how to have fun within the video game industry, but using that for their careers.
Okay.
So there are arms out there that are actually reaching out to these kids to help them be the next generation.
Okay.
But 99% of the community and the casual player, they're just out there. They don't know. A lot of the information is not there for them. I think there's a lot more now coming to them. I didn't even know there were scholarships until about a year and a half ago.
Right.
And all of a sudden it was like, wait, this is crazy. The moms used to say, you're never going to make anything out of yourself playing video games. Well, unfortunately, I'm going to break it to say they're not only making six figures a year, they're actually getting scholarships to go to school. So
yes,
that's a stupid comment at this day and age.
Isn't it the same argument? I mean, I used to live in Texas, right? And so there's a lot of people who's like, I'm fighting for my son to be a fantastic football player because maybe he'll get a football scholarship, right? It's the same argument.
Same argument.
Right?
Totally.
Why football is a terrible thing to your body. Why would you want that for a scholarship? Why not play video games? At least there'll be some other skills involved, right?
I have to laugh because I remember, again, I was the parent for all these kids because nobody showed up. And now I've got parents showing up because they realize the foundation of what their kids are doing.
Uh-huh.
And then at the same time, you've got Fortnite who came out of nowhere and kids were making money, even $40, $60, $100, $1,000.
Right.
And these parents were like, let's get tutors for these kids so they can start winning money. They realized that this was all of a sudden real, and it wasn't a farce. And so it's kind of pendulum swung. And so it's really hilarious because I see all of these different sides and I'm trying to balance it out as best as I can as an advocate, being like, that's okay, but calm down. This is totally cool. Don't let them stop. It's a very weird ecosystem.
Yeah, it's, and I think that, obviously there's so much stigma and misinformation about video game worlds, 100%. Right? There's so much about video games cause people to be violent. It's
totally.
It's clearly proven that that's not the case, right?
No, and Call of Duty is a perfect example. I will never forget, I was on TV and Call of Duty had 300 million followers at one point.
Right.
And there's probably more now. But I remember there was something that happened on TV and there was a young kid, I would say maybe 19, 20, maybe he's even in his early 20s, wearing a Call of Duty sweatshirt. And he was on TV helping either a firefighter or somebody who got hurt. And here he is in a Call of Duty jacket, and we were like, this just breaks all of those stereotypes.
Right.
My children, because I was working Call of Duty so young in the game of it,
right.
I let my kids play it younger, but I was there with them explaining the game, deciphering if they were mature enough to handle it, even though you were supposed to be 18. I've seen really young kids playing weird, crazy games. I've seen older people. If you have mental illness, and I'm probably not trying to be controversial, but the thing is, you have to know the person. If sure. they don't have the mental capability to handle something of that caliber,
right.
there's going to be issues. And it's also parent, you know, support, and you have to know, like, if your kid is doing something, you need to be part of that, and you need to definitely parent that situation. Some sure. kids can handle it, some kids can't.
I was a psychiatrist or psychologist that I knew who had a great analogy about it. It's like, this is, I have no problems with kids playing violent video games, quote unquote, because they should be mature enough, or you know, under normal situations, they'll be able to tell the difference of what's right and what's not right.
Right. So
and the reason it is like, for example, I'm not going to sit in this room and take all my clothes off.
Right.
I do that in a bathroom by myself. I know when it's appropriate to take all my clothes off.
Right? Correct.
It's completely normal for me to be naked in the bathroom when I'm about to take a shower.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's not normal for me to do it outside of the bathroom.
Correct.
So it's normal for me to be able to go and do, take a sniper rifle and shoot my friends inside of a video game.
Right.
It is not appropriate to do that outside of a video game. It should be clear that that's a normal thing that we should be able to do, you know.
And that's the whole point of common sense.
Right.
And that's the thing that we laugh about now, is that kids are so left to be on their own, that if they're not taught, like we were told, our parents were very much in our lives where if my mom looked at me funny, I was running. You know, my dad, mm-hmm. my mom and dad were, my father was a police officer, so even worse, because we just knew not to screw up,
right.
you know, but we had parents we respected and that we also knew we'd get a spanking or something would happen.
Yep.
We had a fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, in today's day, the kids don't have that fear. Although there are parents who are definitely there, whether single or both parents are in the home,
right?
But it's still a parenting issue,
mm-hmm.
right? So common sense is common sense. If kids don't have common sense, there could be a real serious situation.
Absolutely.
And somebody needs to address that.
But that's
not everybody.
And you know, the thing is, what I also do, and I'm not trying to say that I'm a better parent for this, but when my son plays Fortnite, he doesn't use headphones, right? I haven't played on the speakers, so I can actually hear what's going on.
Correct.
Okay. He's young enough that I want to hear, like, wait a minute, who are you talking to? But I know all the kids. He's the same group of kids that he plays with all the time.
Right.
And there's one kid that he was playing with who always annoyed them. And there was always one, no, stop it. It's the worst, right? And he gets really frustrated. And I said, if you're frustrated, you have the option of just walking away from the game.
Right.
Why don't you do that and say, you know what, I'm going to stop playing. I'm going to go play with someone else. And he did that enough in a calm manner as he was growing up, in a sense, that suddenly, like, the other kid was like, you know, if I act that way, he's not going to want to play with me. So suddenly they've changed their tactic and they're way better off. And isn't that a good skill to learn as a person?
Right. Well, and we used to do that with the kids actually standing next to each other.
Yeah, of course.
You know, now it's just in front of a PC or a, you know,
a TV or
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same tactic. We're just having to learn it a little skewed.
Right.
You know, but that's a thing. Like I know, and I use Call of Duty a lot because I had the privilege of working in it
yeah.
for so long. But I remember my husband, he's a military vet
mm-hmm.
and he's disabled. And so we go to the VA and he has his appointments. And mm-hmm. I remember wearing my Call of Duty stuff.
Right.
Jacket, hoodie, whatever. And I remember walking in with him and I wasn't even thinking about it. I just had it on. It's just something I wear because I've been branded for so long.
Right.
And I walked in and this vet came up to me and he was probably either Vietnam or Korean and mm-hmm. I forget which one. And he just stopped me and he said, do you work with Call of Duty? And I said, no, sir, I do the events for them. And he said, I hope someday they know that they've saved my life. And I said, really? How is that? And he said, well, I have PTSD.
Yep.
And he said, and I can't handle life. And he said, the game actually allows me to kind of like go back into what I'm always so stressed out about. And I use that game to kind of come back out of it. And he said, it's been my therapy. And
yeah.
he said, it saved my life. And so again, there's pieces of this that we don't even know.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be a violent game to do that. But mm-mm. but everybody has something that they feel confident or comfortable or safe in.
Sure.
And sometimes those games are just a safety. But again, you have to look at it from a realistic perspective of, is this an addiction? Is this an scapegoat? Is this just a fun environment to be in? And that's where parents have to show up, grandparents, whoever.
Right.
You know, and that's what's so important is that part hasn't been addressed.
I think I think I've heard that a lot too. I've actually heard there's a company or a group I work with called ICT, which is Institute of Creative Technology. It's part of USC. But they work specifically with vets as well. And what they have found is that the people that are suffering from PTSD are much more likely to have conversations and open up when they are in an avatar state.
Mm-hmm.
So they create these therapy sessions in virtual space.
Yep.
And so I can imagine a video game is the same thing. I mean, this is isn't it not dissimilar from what you're talking about? Autistic kids being able to, like, once there's that layer of veneer that separates them from reality a little bit, it just
they're safe.
It's much safer, right?
Yep, 100%.
And so it's great.
And as I said, no kid is the same.
No.
But the formula of video games are kind of the same. Again, okay. It's just based on, you know, again, my son is a casual player. Mm-hmm. And if he's been in his room 18 hours a day, you better believe as a parent, especially in the video game industry, he hates me because he's mm-hmm. like, but mom, you're in the game industry. You mm-hmm. should know better. And I'm like, I do. And that's why you're getting out of your room right now.
Right.
Because I'm kicking you out.
Right.
You know, but there's just a balance. And I think that's the hard part is there's so many parents who are just trying to get their mortgage paid or their rent paid that they don't have time to worry about what Johnny's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard on everybody in a world where we're all just trying to make a buck.
Right.
You know, so not everybody's privileged to have 80 hours with their kids a week to be able to have that time. But
right.
whatever time they have, it's so imperative for them to get to know their children. And you'll know by behavior if video games are too much or not enough or they're taking up, you know, precious time with family when they should be, you know, eating dinner with you and they're forgetting dinner because they haven't gone to the bathroom in 16 hours. Something's wrong.
Right.
Okay. That's when you have to like clarify some boundaries.
Sure.
You know, but 90% of the kids out there, even the pro players I work with, are the most genuine, honest, real, sweet kids.
Right.
Like they're not these terrors and they're not, you know, going to burglarize your house. And I mean, they're really good kids, but they're serious about this craft and they want to win. They don't want to lose. And it's a very hard place for these kids to be from 16 to 25. You know, and I've watched them evolve and it's just crazy. And Lois, the youngest I worked with was 12 going on 13, I think it was. And it was mm-hmm. Vainglory for mobile video gaming when it first came out. And so I watched a whole progression of that against a PC or an Xbox and working on your iPad or whatever it was at that
right.
point. But it's the same thing. If a parent is a part of the experience, these kids have got the world at their fingertips. But again, boundaries are very imperative.
Sure.
And these 1% kids who are taking this to a level of success, now starting to see parent support, which has been amazing. And that's been making me feel good. And I think the parents are thankful I'm there because they're just lost.
They're probably looking to you as guidance, right?
They do. They do. And then when they get good at it.
You're the mom to the mom.
I'm the mom to the moms.
Yeah.
You know, but it's because I really care. Like, I think that's why I've done so well is that it's, you know, everything is about the dollar sign. And certainly I would love to keep paying my bills. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it's always about the player. It's always about the experience. It's always about the parenting. It's about life, you know. And I think part of that stems for me is that I lost my mom at 13. So I had to learn life a little bit skewed.
Mm-hmm.
So becoming this mom is kind of ironic to be so, you know, in love with these kids to help them and support them and advocate and be there when their girlfriend breaks up with them or mom doesn't understand or you know, or mom comes for the first time and she's freaked out because she doesn't understand what her kid's doing and why is he here and mm-hmm. calming them down. And there's story after story after story after story. And
right.
it's just fun now to be 9 years in and having to look at so much that's changed, but yet still the same. And it's going to take every parent around the world who has a kid playing, whether they're 16 or they're too old to be parented, to just know that you need to be in their lives. You need to know what they love, what they hate. It's the same still, same requirements. You know, you still have to have dinner with them once in a while. You still have to have conversation.
Right.
But find out about the video game. What, you know, you can find out so much about your child when they're in this world because it's fascinating to see how smart they are inside of these worlds where you didn't even know that they could do what they're doing. It's kind of like finding your kid being a doctor all of a sudden. You're like, when did that happen?
Yeah,
you know?
And
now here's this person in front of you who's so brilliant and you had no clue.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it is because it's so foreign. I think this is one of the things that I wanted to, you know, people to know, you know, that listen to my podcast. There's a lot of the people that's interesting because, a lot of people that listen to my podcast are content creators, right? They make mm-hmm. they make the content. They do, you know, design or video games or movies or whatever. They're not really from the opposite side of it where, like, once it's done, here's how big it gets from that once the game is released.
Right.
So I think that's kind of the interesting part of that operation. So just understanding like what this means, I think, is extremely important. I think you do have an important role to play. Now I think you're sort of hinting at the fact that 2019 is going to be a big thing where you're going to start become an advocate for all this stuff. You're going
to absolutely
talk about women in the industry, talking about what this world has actually like. I mean, honestly, I think they should. I could see a real documentary about it.
Oh my gosh, there's so many pieces to this; it's unreal.
And, yeah,
and I think too. I think the one thing, if I could say anything, kind of from the parental standpoint, which is so exciting, is I've watched Rocket League just being the game that I get to do so much with at the moment. And
my son just got that. That's the one with the car, the car soccer one, right?
Yeah, and it's a fun game. But to watch parents, like I have so many dads that are playing now with their kids and parents who are kind of playing it because it's not this crazy, Fortnite game. Although, hey, if you have enough time to play with your kid in a game, like you said, you learn a lot and you get to bond in a way you never did. And it also brings the kids out from video gaming to where you're like, hey, let's go get a sundae or let's go do something. And it brings you more on a closer level because now they know you're safe and that there's kind of that communication of you're not going to yell at me. You're actually like playing with me or you're spending time watching me or you're in my world and now I'm going to respect you.
Or if something bad happens, I can relate.
Exactly. Why is he bummed out? Because he just got knocked out from the best game of his life.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So if I can say that if we as parents can be more into what's going on without having to get too crazy about it, but then there are parents who loved video games. So that's even better because I'm telling you the bonds that I've seen are just priceless.
Right.
And I've seen these parents who are more excited about their kids playing than the kids are playing now. It's hilarious. It's just turned into this whole other side. But there's so much more than just video games. It's just another vehicle. It was like us going out biking and, ding dong ditch 'em and all the crazy things we did as a kid. You know, this is just the thing now. This is the vehicle that most of these kids are in. But there's still kids playing football and basketball and surfing and tennis and whatever. And, it's
karate's
the same
huge
thing.
With my kids.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you still have to be there and watch them do it, what they do, because you get to experience what they love.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
And, I see my kids get kicked in the head and knocked on the ground and doing karate, and it's hard to watch too.
it is very hard for sure,
but they don't want to quit because they still love playing it or they still love doing karate or whatever. So I think there's a great way to think about the balance that it is. The other thing I also think is fascinating is right now specifically, on the media side of thing, on the Twitch world, etc., there are kids now that are inspired to become a channel. Right?
Yep. Oh, 100%.
So it's they may not necessarily be the best at a video game, but they may want to express themselves as a character and they can become a Twitch channel or whatever it is.
They're influencers. There's streamers. There's just so many pieces to this. It's not just about playing the game.
Right.
But finding out that you've got some kids who are really talented and they've gotten in front of a screen, in front of a mic, and it's mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
I'll say this again to parents. If you're saying, why is my son watching a video or my daughter watching a video of someone playing a video game, take some time. Spend an hour with them. Watch it with them. Get it. You know? And you may say this is stupid when you watch it for the first 5 minutes, but give it a good hour. And you'll start to understand, maybe there's something that you missed,
And there's some stupid entertainment too,
Absolutely.
But it's entertainment.
Absolutely. It's entertainment. And of course, you always have to be careful with language, everything else. That was actually I was not so worried about my son playing video games online. I was more worried
what was he watching,
who is he playing with, because there's a lot of predator situations that you get terrified of all the time.
Of course. Of course.
So as we started to move forward, it's like, okay, I know who he connects with. He's not allowed to connect with people he doesn't know. He's not allowed to talk to people he doesn't know. So it's always the same group of kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Absolutely. And social media is really, it's a strange phenomenon too, because I know when we started with, MySpace, and that was the coolest thing. And then it moved into Facebook and we were all freaked out over Facebook back in the day. And, and I honestly have, 1,600 people on Facebook because I've had so many people in my life that I have one place I can go to. And now it's just a mess because of everything that's happening with it. But it's just interesting how it can be a positive influence or it can be a negative influence. And it really, again, it goes back to, knowing how to understand, again, what is your child watching? Like, my sons watch the dumbest stuff, but it gets them laughing. And of course, I have to like monitor, even at 16, like, what in the world are you guys doing?
Right.
You know? And then I watch it. And of course, again, it goes back to parenting. Okay, why are you watching this? Oh, this is just stupid entertainment. Okay, do you understand what they're doing and how wrong this is? Okay, good. Because if I ever catch you doing this, I will kill you.
Right.
It's very simple.
Yep.
You know, but it's, again, it's being a part of that experience. But there's just so many people who know that they can put a video on and do something stupid and make millions of dollars. I mean, you can't stop it. It's not going away.
Nope.
But at the same time, that's what these kids are watching, and you have to have conversation.
Yeah.
You know, because social media, again, can be a positive or it can be a negative.
Yep.
It's just, again, part of the bigger picture now of who we are as a society.
Indeed. Indeed.
So.
Well, we're coming up towards, we've already been well over an hour. I don't know if you know that.
No. It's been amazing.
So, but I'd like to know, as we're kind of wrapping up. So you said before, you know, like you knew something was happening, but you didn't know where it was going, whatever. And I know that there's a lot of information that you have that you probably can't talk about, but what can you say, like, what do you think people should be aware of what's coming or what's going to happen, like, in terms of the video game world, besides it just becoming bigger? What do you think is going to start to happen as a trend that's going to be interesting for people to be aware of?
I think the ever-evolving change of video games, whether you've been playing the same game for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then, you know, like I said, Apex just came out of nowhere and is taking on Fortnite. That just happened. We don't even know what that means yet.
Right.
We do know that those publishers and developers who are building these games are going to ever evolve into the next series of whatever that is. So it's not going to go away anytime soon. Mm-hmm. I think there's a misnomer of thinking that, oh, there's billions of dollars in these games and everybody wants a piece of it and you can make $1 million. And it's such a smoke and mirrors industry. So,
right.
You know, to be very careful that if your kid is playing a game, that's fine. Always understand what the game is, what kind of money is going into the game, what are they spending it on?
Right.
You know, that type of stuff is always going to be ever evolving for a parent. The older they get, the more they'll, you know, end up buying their $3,000 entertainment system in their big house and more power to them to do it, you know, when they're older. As far as the industry, things are going to change on different levels. You're just going to see a bit more corporate, being more structured inside of the creative side of things. I think that it's not going to necessarily be bad. I think it's going to be a change, but I don't know how the community as a whole will deal with it.
Okay.
I think these kids who started at 16 are probably now close to 20 or 25, and you're going to see them kind of wanting to figure out how they fit into this new category of video gaming because they're not the kids anymore or they're having kids.
Right.
So there's a different dimension of next steps. I believe that the global enterprise of video games is going to come out even more so. So you're going to see cities and areas where everybody wants a piece of it, but they don't know what to do with it. So I'm trying to advocate more on that side of it as well to kind of bring more stability to the ecosystem of esports, because everybody thinks it's like going down the street and you're going to find something esports and it's just this, you know, $1 billion experience. And that is not it at all.
Okay.
But you're going to see it really cross-platform with music, and it's already been doing that, but I think on a quiet level, you're going to see a lot more cross-platform experiences.
Okay.
There are so many musicians and pro players, whether that's basketball or football or whatever, who are all video game players in their spare time. I think that all of that's been very quiet because you don't want to be the nerd video gamer, you know, and now we're realizing that it's not so nerdy anymore and it's cool.
Steven Spielberg is a huge gamer.
Right. Who would have thought, right? Who would have known?
Well, that's why he got so involved in, that's why he really wanted to do Ready Player One for that same reason. Right. So.
Which was brilliant.
Yeah.
And if every parent hasn't seen that, they really need to see that.
Right.
But
that's actually a good way to introduce them to it, right?
Yeah, just to get an idea from a fun perspective.
Right.
But I think that overall, it's like, don't count it out.
Mm-hmm.
Always question, but never be afraid to understand the next steps. And as an advocate, I can say that, like, I don't know if this is the plug I should do or not, but I'm on Twitter. I'm Kim A. Meltzer.
Okay.
You can find me on Twitter or Esports Event Mom. I have a small Twitter account for Esports Event Mom that I just started because I didn't want to lose the tag and I just haven't put a whole lot of time. I'm going to do a bit more of that this year.
Right.
But there's always questions and I'm not afraid to answer anything or help out, you know, in that respect. But it's just being aware. I mean, I think half of that is, you know, I think when Elvis showed up, I think whoever was parenting at the time was flipping out because this guy named Elvis was coming onto the scene. Uh-huh. Turned out he wasn't what he, you know, he wasn't as bad as people thought he was. And now he's an icon that just made history.
Okay.
You know, it's all about perspective.
Explain who Elvis is. Just give an example.
Well, yeah, right?
it's just a different situation. Like, you right. know, you don't really, it's just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that it's bad or good.
Correct.
Right? But it's
Correct.
A revolutionary thing. And sometimes it is. You used a music scenario. Like I looked at, you know, back when I around, I think it was 90, no, it was 80, or it was 90 or 91 when I saw the first video of Nirvana on MTV. And I'm like, what was that? Because that's going to change everything that's been known about music. And it was. Now, of course, it was, you know, he had his own little self-destructive lifestyle. But being aware of that moment when it happened, he was like, that's going to change everything.
100%.
You know?
So, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Grammys. Look at everything that's happening in this day and age.
Right.
You know, it's a bunch of people who are still trying to find that balance.
Right.
And I think that as parents, we just have to kind of like stay our ground. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that we're going to, you know, be political or do any of those crazy things. It's just find common sense, find boundaries and be a part of the experience and live in the now. Stop worrying about yesterday and stop worrying about tomorrow.
Right.
You know, be good to one another. It's just what we grew up learning that hasn't changed. You love somebody, it's going to come back positive. You hate somebody, it's going to come back negative. It's just a simple quotation of, you know, learn, be, enjoy life. It's short. Take care of those around you that love you and you know, get rid of all the toxic stupid in your life and be gone with all the rest of it. You know, I mean, it's just simple everyday life that we've learned.
Right.
And now we're just in the parental role and now we're in the older parental role. And it's just funny looking back and seeing these kids who just don't even know what a wall looks like yet. And you're like, oh boy, I don't even want to know if that's going to happen, when that's going to happen. But, you know. It's just learning.
Well, I think this is fascinating. And I really appreciate you coming by. We've been wanting to do this for a while. And we finally got it all worked out and we were able to make this happen. So it's been really great. And I think it really is going to be helpful for people. And it's the same for me, you know, in the visual effects world. Everyone was so young, but now we're all older and having kids. And now we're like, our kids are starting to play video games and we think we need a little perspective in this world. And I think having someone like you say, here's the situation, is really helpful for us.
So. I'm honored, truly honored. Never thought in a million years I would be doing this, but it's been fun. It's been a great journey.
Well, good. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I'm honored.